We're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs. And as we've already picked up in the theme of the service, it's looking at learning this week, learning. In those Bibles coming round, if you could just turn to chapter 4, it's on page 607 in the Bibles coming round, or in your own Bible, Proverbs 4. I've mentioned already in Proverbs several times that we're going to be having to jump around a bit, so I'll put lots of verses on the screen in a moment. But quite a lot of the themes we look at are there in the opening nine chapters, which are an introduction to the whole book. So we'll start there, then we'll be looking around at other verses, and they'll be on the screen to follow. I just want to begin thinking about names for Christians in the Bible. Names for Christians in the Bible. What different names are given to them? Labels, descriptions. Sorry, saints. Yep, what else? Followers. Sorry? Holy ones or saints. Same idea. Yep. That they are righteous, thinking more of labels given to them. Sons and daughters of God. Sheep, yes. living stones, yes. Disciples. Any others? That there are apostles among the Christians. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Okay, we could go on for a long time, couldn't we? And some of those are more sort of descriptive of sort of, you know, what God's made us and so on. There are a few really common ones. The word Christian, actually, of course, is very uncommon. It's used three times, I think. The word believer, actually, we haven't mentioned, but that's one of the most common. Why? Because Christians are those who've come to believe something, not just intellectually, you know, give assent to it, actually trust in it. If you call them trusters, because they trust, they believe the message of the gospel. Saints, holy ones we've mentioned, because Christians have been made right with God. We also mentioned disciple there, which means, what does disciple mean? Kind of follower, or you could easily translate it, learner. A disciple learns from somebody. You know, we use it in that phrase. You say, oh, someone's a disciple of so-and-so. We mean they follow them in what they do, and they want to learn from them, model themselves on them. And so we thought earlier about Jesus teaching his disciples. But then all Christians are called disciples. All Christians are called to be learners. Learning from the Lord Jesus. And we're thinking about learning today from Proverbs. Proverbs is all about practical Christian living. And I begin with some of those labels for two reasons, really. One is to think how this fits into following Jesus. But we have to always remind ourselves, studying Proverbs, reading this practical Christian stuff is not about how we become a Christian. That's by being a believer or a truster in the good news. It's not about how we get right with God. No, we are saints or holy ones already. But we still need to be learners. There's a great cry throughout the book of Proverbs, and it's my main heading, be a learner. For example, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. There is a call to learn, to want to grow in knowledge, in understanding. Now this is actually very common in this opening introduction, first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. The whole book is framed as a father talking to his son. We can broaden that. But that's the setting of it, and calling his son to want to be a learner. particularly perhaps those of you who are younger, the teenagers who've stayed in. You know, you learn stuff at school. You might think, well, that's where I do learning. The rest of life is about enjoying, playing, fun. Actually, Proverbs calls you to be a learner in all of life, particularly learning from your parents, learning from people at church. But it's true for all of us. We are all called to continue to be learners. And the assumption is we don't know how to live a wise life left to ourselves. It's got to be the assumption, isn't it? We just don't know. We need to learn how to do it. Left to ourselves, we won't. And this learning is great for us. Chapter 4, verse 6. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. As Mike just mentioned earlier in the sharing, God's ways are good. This call to learning isn't a call to some boring, dull, austere sort of life. This is a call to the best life, the wise life. Who wouldn't want to learn how to be wise? Who wouldn't want to be instructed in this? Wisdom is great, but we have to be willing to learn. And that call to be a learner gets repeated throughout the book. Here are a couple more examples on the screen. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. If you are discerning, you'll want to seek out knowledge. So I want to find it. I want to go, let's look, where is it? You'll want to learn. As opposed to the fool who feeds on folly. What is he likes to shove his face with stuff, likes to feed on it. But he wants folly, not learning. Or a similar one. Stop listening to instruction, my child, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You've got to keep on learning. You've got to keep on listening to words of instruction from people, or you go off course, left to yourself. The day you stop listening and learning, it's the day we start to stray. So there is this very simple call to be a learner, to recognize we don't know as much as we might think, to recognize there is wisdom to be had, and it is good, and we should want it, and we must learn it. You know, when you learn to drive, you have your L plates on, yeah? And so you drive around with your L plates on. How do you feel driving a car with your L plates on? Nervous, if you're not sure what you're doing. Okay, imagine you can drive, but you have to get in a car that's got L plates fixed on them. How do you feel? Embarrassed. It's like, I'm just the learner. Sorry, you know. What you love is the moment when you are a learner, you can take the L plates off and say, I can do it now. I've learnt how to drive. Past tense. I've learnt. So I might improve a little bit, but I've passed. I'm done. As a Christian, someone wanting to live the wise life, we need to say we all always have our L plates on. Must never be embarrassed about putting an L just here and going, I'm a learner. I'm not done. I've not arrived. Big L plate hanging on me. I'm a learner. Well, how are we going to learn? That's what we're going to fill out. Main way in Proverbs that you learn is to listen to others. Other people in Proverbs are a source of learning to us, listening to others. So, for example, here's a few. Those who give heed to instruction prosper, and blessed are those who trust in the Lord. It's those who give heed to instruction, but the whole point has got to be someone's instructing you. It's expected there'll be instruction going on, and you have to want to listen to the person giving the instruction. Notice the parallel, interesting. Lots of Proverbs are contrasts. The wise person does this, the fool does that. Some of them are kind of parallel statements. those who give heed to instruction prosper. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Not that listening to instruction and trusting are the same thing, but they kind of go hand in hand. Someone who trusts in God wants to learn and listen. As opposed to this one, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The fool loves to offer his thoughts, what to do, what'll work, how we should live. They like the sound of their own voice and their opinion. And they find pleasure in that. Find pleasure in offering their own opinions, as opposed to learning from others. Now, of course, this is connected with God's word. This all comes in the context of the Old Testament faith, where God has given his word and his law. Proverbs doesn't forget that. This isn't just learning in general. This is instruction in what is good and right and from God. But it's learning from him through others. There's to be teaching going on among God's people. And so learning, and it's a call to want to learn. But being a learner, in Proverbs, goes beyond, if I can put it this way, simple Bible learning. Remember, the book of Proverbs is about living rightly and living well. So it's not just about learning truths, it's about learning how to live. And so a very similar area is to want advice. Many, many Proverbs speak of listening to people's advice. And it's not just like, oh, I've got an idea for you. It's quite a robust thing. Counsel would be a better word if we kind of used it today. I want your counsel on something. I want your biblically informed thoughts to help me in my decision that will shape what I do. Advice is the word that's usually translated. But it's a substantial thing. Here's a few. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. We'll come to the discipline bit in a moment, but just see the call to listen to advice, to want guidance from others. By contrast, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. See, fools think they know best by themselves. Their way of life, their decision seems right in their eyes, whereas the wise person listens to, asks for, and listens to advice. It's interesting, isn't it? My assumption should be that my ideas aren't the best ones. That should be my default assumption. Left to myself, I won't be very wise on this decision. I should get advice. This is one of the proverbs that's been running around my head this week a bit. And I think this has been a weakness of mine, for which I'm sorry. I don't think it's been total. I do ask for advice in all sorts of areas. But I easily think I know best. My way seems right to me. And I need to ask people, it's a real application area for me to ask people, just to invite, what do you think of this area? What should I do? And it's challenging, of course, because of the attitude behind the not asking. Here's another proverb. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. It's speaking here of a situation that's gone badly, I think, where strife has resulted. There's been a bust-up of some sort between friends or family or whatever because someone didn't take advice. But my point in showing it to you is that it's because of pride. Beware the pride that won't ask for advice from others. Which is just all over. It's all over me. I mean, why is it when I'm lost, I don't want to ask for directions? What is that? I'm utterly lost. There's someone standing by the side of the road. I could just pull over. So I'll work it out. Men, come on, men, own up. Is this you? Yeah? I mean, even in the supermarket, I'd prefer to spend hours walking back and forth down the aisles trying to find whatever item it is, rather than ask somebody. Why? Because I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like I can't do what I think I ought to be able to do. I ought to be able to manage on my own. That's what I feel. I don't want to look like a fool. And Proverbs says, it's the fool who doesn't ask. That's pride. That's stupid. Now this should be going on among us all the time, and over more significant things and directions and where to find the gravy granules. Okay? We will be facing decisions among us like what I should do as a job, or should I change job, or should I ask someone out, or should I ask someone to marry me, and if someone asks me to marry them, should I say yes, and should I buy a house, or should I rent a house with that person, and should I move towns, or might I move churches, or perhaps not actual decisions I'm faced with and forced into, but just advice on life in general. How do I grow as a Christian? How am I more useful in the church? How can I be a better husband or wife or friend or a better parent? We should want advice on all these things and more. We want to find people who we think makes good decisions in those areas, who we think is wise, and ask for advice. Now, as it happens, I think here at Avenue, I think these sorts of conversations are happening all the time. I think we're not bad at this at all. I've got a good culture of this. I just want to say a couple of things. I want to say, let's keep going in that. Join in those sorts of conversations if you're tempted not to ask for advice. Join in. It's going on all the time. Join in. And I just want to say, let's be deliberate about it. Let's not simply end up talking about the potential house move because it happens to have come up in conversation, or bringing up the kids because it happens to come up in conversation. Invite people to give you advice. We're thinking about moving house, and this is why. What do you think? Tell me. I want your advice. All of which means having the humility to say, I don't presume I'm wise myself. I need to know how to handle this situation with friends. Kids maybe at school or something, or what to do in this difficult area. I need to know what to do in this relationship that seems to be going pear-shaped. I need to know where to go with my life. Just the humility to say, I don't have it all. I need your advice. Which, of course, is part of the listening to others, because this isn't just purely practical. This is biblically informed and shaped advice, or we want to learn from people. Okay, so we want to learn from others. We want advice from others. That's all positive. But there's another huge learning element in Proverbs, and that is that we must love correction. Listen to others, want advice, love correction. In other words, we must want to be put right when we're wrong. Not just learn what's good, not just take good advice, accept correction. So here's a few. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now this has got to be an amazing proverb, isn't it? See the second and third words? Loves discipline. Would you ever put those words together? Except with the word not included. Imagine saying, I love somebody to tell me I'm wrong. I love it when they point out that I've made a mistake. I love it if they show me a character flaw. Bring it on. Tell me them all. I love it. I welcome it. I want to know where I'm wrong. Show me. It's not us, is it? We hate discipline and correction, which means, according to Proverbs, we're stupid. Hate correction? Stupid. That's what it says. Very similar one. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. How do we feel if someone comes to tell us we've got something wrong? We very easily resent it, which means we're a mocker. Which means, of course, we want to avoid people who we know will tell us these things. This is all back to assumptions about ourselves. Proverbs says we need to be taught to be wise. We need to be taught the right life and the good life. We are told that sin and foolishness are bound up in our hearts. Left to ourselves, we will live the wrong life and the foolish life. And if you believe that, if you truly believe that your heart will lead you astray and you want to be wise, then you want to be corrected. Yeah? It's not rocket science. Imagine trying to teach a child something. You're teaching, what are you teaching? Teaching maths. And you can teach them maths, and then the child says, but you can never tell me when I'm wrong. Well, you can teach them lots of positive stuff, but they're going to keep on making mistakes. And you'd say, well, if you don't want to tell me when you're wrong, you really don't want to learn. It's not a difficult concept, but we find it very difficult. We don't like being told we're wrong, and the knock-on effect is we are very reticent to tell somebody else we think they're wrong. He or she won't like it, won't like me. And we need to embrace how good correction is. Here's another one. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. But it's a call to love, correction, and discipline. But just notice that phrase. It is a life-giving correction. Now, we need to say for sure there is such a thing as harsh and critical life-sapping correction. It exists. Sometimes in our sinfulness, sometimes in our clumsiness, we will do badly in correcting people. But that is not the only sort of correction that exists. There is such a thing as life-giving correction. And we should want to heed it, listen to it, love it, love discipline. Our home group quite regularly divides into girls and lads once a month to share and to pray stuff. Last time the lads met, we were discussing things about... We ended up on kind of speaking the truth to each other when we were sort of out of line in how we were living. And one of the guys said, for the record, please tell me when you see me out of line. It had remained a pretty general, we should be doing this, shouldn't we, sort of discussion. He said, for the record, please tell me if I'm out of line. Please correct me. See, inviting each other to do this is just so helpful, because otherwise we feel a bit paralyzed. It's just not done. It's not right. Who could you invite, ask, to give you correction? Of course, it shouldn't just be because they've asked. We should be ready to speak the truth to people, whether they've asked or not. Is there someone you think I really should mention that attitude, that behavior? Now, this is not an encouragement to start flinging criticisms at each other at all, not at all. It's an encouragement to humbly and gently deal with each other's faults. In practice, I think it means lines like, I might be wrong, and forgive me if I am, but I've noticed something I wanted to raise, or I wanted to point out. It would be your attitude here. And of course, I suffer from the same thing. I just noticed it a number of times. You know, lines like that. This links with some of the proverbs on friendships that we spoke about a few weeks ago. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, says one of the proverbs. The wounds of a friend can be trusted. They wound, they hurt, but they're good for you. They can be trusted. We need to love correction. Be willing to give it and receive it. Now, I just want to give a very brief word to parents here, because Proverbs has got quite a lot to say about discipline and correction of children. And actually, children, you need to listen to this. Those of you who aren't children or parents, don't switch off. Because you might be parents one day, and even if you're not or won't be, we're a family, and you need to encourage parents. So you need to know what they should be doing anyway. Parents in Proverbs are called to train and instruct and discipline their children. Now, we could do loads on this, but just a couple of quick comments under this heading of loving correction. Those who spare the rod hate their children, but those who love them are careful to discipline them. Very similar. Next one. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but children left to themselves disgrace their mother. It's very strong, isn't it? And for sure, there are all sorts of discussions to be had about appropriate levels and warnings and discipline and so on. I'm not trying to bypass all of that at all. But the fact is, no discipline means you hate your children. And it's back to assumptions again. If you honestly think that folly and sin is bound up in the heart of a child, as Proverbs says, and you honestly think they're going to need instruction and correction to come to know God and live for God, then you know they need discipline. And not to give it to them is to disregard their future life and so to hate them. We discussed this verse, or one very similar to it, at a parenting seminar a couple of years ago. And one person said they found it very hard to discipline their children because they loved them so much. They hated to see them upset or hurt over something, deprived, whatever it was the discipline was going to be. And we ended up agreeing with each other the discipline from these verses wasn't hard because we loved them so much. It was because we didn't love them enough to go through the pain and the hassle and the anguish because we knew it was good for them. There's lots there. We could discuss in practicalities, good things to ask advice about, and so on. But just under this heading of loving correction, I wanted to point that out to parents and to children. There's a call to listen to the discipline of your parents. So back to our headings. We need to want to listen to others, as the Bible is taught up front and in small groups and one-to-one, and as we hear each other's thoughts on things. We need to love wanting for advice from each other, asking what people think about areas of our life and what we should do and the decisions we face. We need to love each other enough to want to have correction and discipline among us. Invite it, welcome it. It must be done because of love. It must be done humbly and gently. But it must be done. And so we are to be learners. This, I think, is what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, as we speak the truth in love to each other, we will grow up as the body of Christ. This is why in the New Testament there are commands to be teaching each other, instructing each other, rebuking and correcting each other. And this is what we want to be happening in our church life. Some of it up front, formally, as we say here, a sermon will be instructed or rebuked. Some of it will be a conversation over coffee or a pint. But we are all learners. We've all got our L plates on. You never take them off. And so we should love to learn from each other. Our time has gone, I think, so we won't be able to stop for questions this time. Why don't we just have a moment's quiet, a moment to think what God has put his finger on in your life, a particular attitude you want to have, a particular practice. Do you want to change from what God's been saying this morning? A moment's quiet. Father God, we thank you. It is not by any of these things that we come into your family and become your people. It is through the wonderful, forgiving grace that is ours in Jesus. But as your people, we want to grow, to live rightly and well, to live the wise life, a life that is worthy of you and glorifies you. And so we pray in your goodness you'd help us be those who learn from you, and that you'd use each of us, use this family together, that we'd learn from each other and through each other. Would you please give us the humility that says we don't know it and we need to ask for instruction and advice and even love correction. Would you please help us as we try and work these things out practically among ourselves? And we ask it so that we would be those who live a life worthy of you and bring glory to you. Amen.